This is Dr. Missy Hood with Ezekiel's Wheel and the 50-Minute Rev. Happy Friday. Hope you guys have had a great week already. It's been an interesting week. It's been kind of slow, I think, because nobody's really sure what's going on except for what the prophets are saying by the Spirit. And so I just want to encourage you guys, you know, stay the course. Don't quit. Don't give up on believing. Definitely don't get up into doubt and unbelief. That's a thing that'll pull you out of the Spirit. And so anyway, that's what part of this message is also about today. You're going to also see the patterns in what God's saying and as far as the way he's telling us to walk right now, because there are a lot of things coming at you, I think, that a lot of people aren't even aware of with regard to witchcraft. Witchcraft has upped the ante. The occult has upped the ante. And matter of fact, they upped it a long time ago because they were operating and trying to train up military black hats to try to thwart the move of God, the future moves of God, and hinder the body of Christ from moving through God's heart. And so how are they hitting you right now? And what's the message for today? The actual title for today's message is called Changing Seasons. We are moving into a new season, whether you realize that or not. It's called the Brokeback Church. That's part of the church that has refused to grow up. And then Champions on the Down Low. Which side are you in? Only you choose. You either choose to change and be changed, or you choose to stay broke. And that will leave you broke, busted, and disgusted, which is where 80% of the church is stuck underneath the apparatus of religion. I've been saying that now for the past 2 months. I am tired of the message staying the same. And I asked the Lord when he's going to change the message. And he said, when they get it. When they get it, then I'll change the message. So, Lord says the church, the broken part of the church, is stuck underneath the apparatus of religion trying to fight back through what little power they have, which is aka witchcraft. It's witchcraft prayers prayed amiss, scripture spoken in malice, unholy speaking spirits using their vessels for evil. When God specifically tells us that you will reap what you sow, Galatians 6:7. So if you don't want to reap a bad harvest, the Lord said, quit sowing it. Quit sowing it. Start being who you say you are and quit operating in your flesh, trying to always have the last word and or have the last thing to say to people who wrong you. The Lord says there is a way that you think is right, but it'll lead to death. And so the Lord's saying, if you want to keep moving with me, you're going to have to change a few things. You're going to have to be willing to change a few things. And the Lord says, if you keep living to serve yourself or demanding the ways of the flesh, you will lose everything in the future. That kind of concerned me today. That actually really did. And actually, when I started this message today, I was just kind of like, whoa, he's really kind of in your face about that as far as his demand to start cleaning things up. He's asking us to clean things up. So that leads us to how the enemy is hitting you as far as intercession. If you're a front runner, we've been talking to you a little bit about what the Black Hat military has been practicing on high-level intercessors. If you've always felt like somebody was looking over your shoulder or somebody was kind of always in your spiritual atmosphere without your permission, let me tell you how they did that. This is so weird to me how they did this, because I've experienced this myself and always feeling like there was always somebody trespassing in my spiritual atmospheres. And the Lord started teaching me about it in the last 2 weeks, and we started breaking it off to where I have my alone time, truly my alone time with the Lord, which is what you should have without people abusing their gifts and trespassing into your spiritual atmospheres to try to find your weaknesses, to try to trip you up. And we get that in the church. We get that in the cult. We're getting it everywhere now because of people being so messed up. But witchcraft has started to recruit black hat military who practice the martial arts. This is for leaders, by the way, for your intercessors. And how do they do this? Because they're mixing the martial arts with the occult. So this is very, very high level intercession. Okay. For those of you who are high level intercessors, this is what Ezekiel's will hopefully teaches people. But these people have the ability to astral project at any time, day or night, out of their bodies into our atmospheres to monitor and spy on you, if you will, on what leaders do, what you say, what you pray. They see what you see. They can move ahead in your times dimension, realms, frequencies, seasons, and cycles of the spirit into your past, present, and future. They usually go back in time to figure out what you've done and try to mess it up, and then they move ahead in your future to try to trip you up. You need to deal with those things and break them off. But especially strong Christians, they want to come after the strong vessels to manipulate your future. So this is part of your new fighting tactic, because they know how to operate in time, but do you? You're seated beside Christ in heavenly places. God has taught you, hopefully by now, how to operate in the courts of heaven. And boy, that was a fast track teaching when he taught us how to do that. I just thought, wow, this is over my head. And then everything started to fall into place and make sense. And we started getting, well, we've been getting high level results, but it's just another level of high level warring to help you get higher results. And it's highly effective when combined with the courtrooms of heaven. So you're going to have to start learning about dimensional warfare. That's the next type of warfare we're dealing with. That's the new battlefield. If you haven't learned about this stuff, you need to learn. You need to learn. You're going to be forced to learn, or you will get stuck and get your, the enemy will eat your lunch. He will eat your lunch if you don't know how to war effectively in this season. And this is what's going to cause the great falling away, because a lot of the church is lazy. I'll just call it what it is. They're lazy. They want everybody to do all their praying for them. They want everybody to do all their studying for them. They don't want to roll up their arm sleeves and get in there into deliverance ministry and get free, which nobody can do for you. I can't walk your walk in mine too. That's ridiculous. And they, it's just amazing to me how we think that church is going to go back to the way it used to be. We're not ever going back there, people. We're not ever going back there. We're going to be stepping into a place, if you've been obedient up until now, to where you can start warring effectively to take your seat beside Christ in heavenly places, Colossians 3:1-3. But this is how serious the positions are that we're trying to war at. This is also this type of military warring through the black hat military is what's been coming at the white hats. So they need your help. God needs you into position. All intercessors need everybody on the wall in the right position, not just the one that makes you feel comfortable. So how do you do this? How are you going to start warring against these people? You need to melt their tag lock connections, Psalms 104:4 fire, nullify all the ingredients and elements on their evil altars on the inside and out, 1 Corinthians 1:19, and all nullify all the magic connected to it. It's usually cosmos magic or planetary magic. That's magic that's done in the galactical courts, for those of you who know the courts of heaven. So you're going to have to warn the galactical courts, because those are the courts that are used on big people groups. They try to affect big people groups through planetary magic, cosmos magic, so they can get into your mind and they can control you. Why do you think the mRNA crap is so, they're trying to push that on people right now, the vaccine mandate? Because up until this point, witches and Satanists have had to come in from the inside out, or excuse me, from the outside in. They've had to try to gain access to our, to Christians' spiritual atmospheres from the outside in. Now they're trying to illegally gain access from the inside out through technology, trying to create all this transhumanism and all this garbage that we're hearing about right now. So this is how you do that. You undo all their evil that they've done by nullifying all their evil altars, all the magic. 1 Corinthians 1:19. Undo their evil, 1 John 3:8. Then reinstate everything back to its normal positioning. Colossians 2:7. Put it all back. And this is really what I want to teach you. We're getting to the place that I really want to teach you, for all you high-level intercessors out there. The military are building up their power through the martial arts and the occult by teaching people like things like, what do they call it? It's the martial arts is what I know it to be, but it's jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu, I think the word is of it. We talked a little bit about it on Monday. But they try to build up their chi. Their chi is like their faith. Okay, that's like their believing abilities and what they believe with. And it's been learned that they store their chi in their tantin. The Lord said, crush it. Crush it with the hand of God. Exodus 15:6. Then dry it up. Pardon me. That's where chi is stored, is in their tantin. And then you need to also change them to a different frequency, because they store in their spine, or it's considered their antenna. It's used to develop their chi or their ability to believe and get them on a different frequency that you're on, so they can't tap into yours. and they can't sense your spiritual power, how strong you are in the spirit. That's a way to protect yourself. And you need to be praying the full armor onto yourself before you do this, by the way. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Plead the blood. Romans 3, 25. Psalms 91. And any other scriptures God gives you before you enter into that. But then put them outside of time permanently. Psalms 102, 27. Embrace their abilities to read your mind and your strategies. Psalms 34, 14. Erase their ability to project their mind and body through into various places. Erase their silver tab. Psalms 34, 14. When they astro project, they have a silver tab that keeps them connected to their body. Erase it the minute they astro project. Whatever will be. All is fair in love and war. So for those of you mercy sheep out there, sorry, you're not cut out for war if you can't handle the truth. This is what we're doing. So anyway, because they're in it to win it. If they're trying to kill you through a vaccine, do you really think they want you alive? No. Be realistic. So anyway, you're going to need to erase their ability to plan, calculate, estimate for a time in the future. Erase their moves, thoughts, strategy, sights, sounds, knowledge, their ability to see into the future, or their extra normal abilities. Erase it all. Erase their Ki/prana. It's Ki prana, which can be used to be applied in different directions, distinct directions, which entangle people. Erase their fighting applications, spiritually, naturally, ability to apply it, their energy cultivation, spiritual development, the ability to resolve karmic debts. Erase it all. Erase all their chi blocking pressure points, all chi manipulation power, and especially dark chi manipulation techniques. Erase it all. If you don't know what I'm talking about, email me at yeshuanavigator@gmail.com. I'll send you my notes. This is that important because we're going to knock them through the Lord on our lives from here to kingdom come. When I realized this and the Lord taught me this, I was mad. I thought, how dare you impose upon my personal space like that? Okay, so at Ezekiel's wheel, just so you know who we are, you don't think we're some nut job. We deal with very, very high level intercession. Our specialty is dealing with occult witchcraft. And we're not a tell all be all. We learn just as fast as he'll let us, but it's usually to help people. Our jobs, our mandate is to help the body get back into the heart of God, back into the glory and the love of God. That's our main mandate. That's what the Lord told me in heaven when I went there 35 years ago. And he's been telling me that ever since. Every time I go, the mandate hasn't changed. So it's what I'm called to do, to teach you how to get back into alignment with love. And people, thank you, Holy Spirit, people really misunderstand love. Let me tell you something about love. People, the sheep really, especially. And I've been amazed about this, and I'm so glad I wasn't raised in church. I'm so grateful. I just listened to Billy Graham on Sunday with my dad. That's how I found out about the Lord. And then my dad passed away, and I came back into church, and the Lord wouldn't show me the condition and how screwed up the church was. That was a story. But boy, did he. But I started running into Jezebel all over the place. But that's not the place I want to go with this conversation. The place I want to go is that we need to understand. God, bring that back, God. We need to understand about love. We need to understand how love truly operates. You know, there are certain things you never say to a person. There are certain things you never do to a person. There are certain things you don't ever consider even trying to step out into against anybody because you don't know the ramifications and you don't know what that person is capable of, let alone knowing who they are to the Lord. You don't know. And it's the arrogance of our own society now, especially the people that get a little bit of power and they're screwed up. They're dysfunctional. They're the ones that haven't had no power. So they're like the dry drunk going to AA where they don't ever get the inner healing for what caused them to drink to begin with. So then they abuse everybody around them. That's really what's going on in the church right now. What little bit of power the church is given and learning how to use the word of God. They abuse everybody around them and they come at good leaders. And I'm not the only one they're coming at. I'm hearing about it all over the place right now. And it's because of the screwed upness in the church. People refusing to change and be changed. But the one thing you need to understand about love, let me teach you about the Lord. And I've known this about him. I love him deeply. I will lay down my life for him if he calls. But he's so good. He's so pure that if you strike somebody close to his heart, a leader especially, that's operating near his heart, because they've done the legwork. They've done the hard work and rolled up their sleeves, and they've been obedient all these years. We've been obedient, trying to be obedient all these years and serving him the best we know how. And coming up into these high places and refusing to settle for less than God's best. Refusing to settle for the church's version. Cold love. We won't settle for Jezebel's version. You keep your brand of love. That's sterile. That's plastic. But if you come at these ones, just as love can be good, love will turn around and be fierce against even a sheep. It'll break its leg. If he'll break a sheep's leg to teach that sheep a lesson not to ever wander away from his ways, don't you think, imagine what he'll do to your enemies. But that's the misconception of the church, to think that God won't bring in ramifications for sin, because you can think you're hiding all of your evil all you want, or all your hidden sin. You can think you're hiding all your crappy ways from God. And all the time, thank you, Holy Spirit, he's been telling you, you know what? You don't need to be treating your family like that. Or you know what? You don't need to be treating your spouse like that. Or you know what? You don't need to be conducting yourself like that on the job. And then eventually you exhaust his grace. And what happens is you lose your family. You lose your job. You lose your livelihood. You lose it all until you are flat on your face before a holy God, looking up and saying, and that's the only way to look at that point, because you hit rock bottom. But why would you want to push him that far? But see, and that's the same premise. The way that we relate with man is actually the way we relate with God. So if you're acting like hell towards people around you, that's pretty much what you're acting like towards him. And God's saying the time is growing short now. It's time to get cleaned up. It's time to let me clean up your heart so you can draw them near me and come closer. But you have to do things my way if you want to come near a holy God, says the Lord. You don't get to come in any old way you please. You don't get to act like you know everything just because you have a little bit of a prophetic gifting operating on your vessel, which makes most people act like fools because they go around trying to play everybody else's God all the time just because they see a little inkling of whatever's operating or hasn't been healed in their life. It's like, who do you think you are? Especially these people who have no authority head over some of those people that they try to do this over. They're not, these people aren't accountable to them, and yet they try to play their God. Who do you think you are? We can't do that. But this is what we're hopefully here to teach you how to do, to maneuver out of your flesh and into the things of the spirit. And so if you're still operating in a spirit of religion, then this is definitely not for you. It's not for you. It's for people who want to change and be changed. And if you choose not to change, your flesh will always be fighting your ability to move forward. And you'll either end up destroying yourself or questioning authority around you. Most of these people end up bucking the information. They end up walking away because they think, oh, that's not of God. So they totally miss the move of God. And then they stay stagnant. They totally stay stagnant. This is also why we, in Ezekiel's will, mandate that all of our members go through deliverance and inner healing classes up to about 10 months of this ministry, to make sure you're getting your gifts cleaned up, you're getting your heart cleaned up, your gates are getting cleaned up, to help you start maneuvering closer to a holy God. And by the way, guess what happens at that point? You get your life back. You start getting your life back. The blessings start flowing, and you start flowing in the true might and power of a holy God, his way. But that takes a lot of trust and leadership around you too. We teach you hopefully how to learn what submission to authority is about. I mean, this is how far away the body's fallen away from the Lord into their own ways. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. So that's what we're here to do, so that God's power can flow through you with might, which brings us into the message. Jeremiah 39, 1 through 41, 18, where it talks about how God pays the wicked back. Have you been feeling like you've been pummeled by the wicked lately? And this is a story in Jeremiah where this king thought he could get away and he would escape his enemies. He thought he was going to get away with the way he'd been living. And then the enemy caught up with him. And at the last thing, it was the last thing Zedekiah saw before he himself was blinded, was the execution of his own sons. And from that point on, he was stuck walking by sight, and he ended up in darkness. Does this not sound like the church right now? where they've been demanding to stay in the flesh and demanding to do things their own way. And if you keep demanding this, what will happen is you won't be covered in the glory. You won't have any protection. And you're going to get stuck on the lower sides of the mountain, to where there's no one there to help you, because the darkness will have caught up with you. Remember, as the light gets lighter, the darkness gets darker. So this king ended up walking by sight or by the flesh, and he ended up in darkness. His whole life turned a mess overnight. So this king had been taught from an early age only to serve himself, where true love is always others oriented. If you know the true, warm, unconditional love of Jesus, therefore he lost everything. He lost everything. And this is the severity of the hour we're now living in. So the church has no other option but to come up into the things of the Spirit if they want to prosper, if they want true power, which means we all have to get Spirit-filled in order to grow up. God's coming back for a warring bride. So know the truth of these words, says the Lord. Be sure, this is from the Lord, be sure that if you've got hidden sin or anything in this hour that you think God's not paying attention to, that you refuse to deal with, be sure that your sin will find you out. Whether it's lack of respect for authority, whether it's hidden sin, whether it's mistreating your family, I don't know, you label it. I don't know your life. Your life is none of my business. I'm just revealing the word, he's telling me. But your sin will find you out. And people can continue living as they please, thinking that there'll never be a harvest for their actions. But some laws are eternal, says the Lord. Some laws in the Bible, especially if they're written down, God says, for it is written, it's permanent. You can't change it. That's the whole Bible, by the way. And if the law is the written word of God and we break it, guess what? You get to reap your harvest. That's based on Galatians 6:7. We reap what we sow. We reap what we sow. So in this hour, the Lord's telling the remnant, where evil mouth gates have been attempting to stop your progress, God says, every test has an ending date. And the day is surely on the horizon, says the Lord, where I will forcefully put a stop to those evil oracles and their ability to stop you any longer. Lord says, I'm not going to allow this test to go on forever. I'm just trying to get you to learn a few of my characteristics in the test. He's trying to teach us about endurance. He's trying to teach us about loving, even our enemies, and blessing those who try to release evil against us. You know what happens when you bless somebody when they release evil or speak evil over you? You bless their head, their hands, their feet, and their mouth. 1 Corinthians 13:13. You bless them, for one, because you don't want to sow an evil harvest for your future. You bless them, for two, because it sends all their stuff back on them. You heap hot coals. So you're not repaying evil with evil. You're blessing them. And the Spirit of the Lord is leaving your mouth gate. And he's going back, and since he can't dwell where sin is, it's repelling the evil, and it sends it back, like knocks it back up against the wall. So, but God is going to reward the remnant for their faithfulness in this hour. He's going to reward you, those Jeremiahs who courageously have proclaimed God's word for the past 30 to 40 years, and even though God's people have been defiant and disobeying it, and I even might even say, if they ever even knew the Lord at all. That's the truth. So God is trying to point out, you know, he has appointed authority while the devil has appointed his false prophets and false authority through Jezebel. You need to understand the difference in this day and time. Because God's authority, God has ordained men and women to live under authority, because otherwise there would be chaos. And this is why, if you're a prophetic vessel, it's why a prophet submits to a prophet, so that accountability is in place. Otherwise, you're just going to be a sidewalk prophet. And you're open to the enemy's devices. And we all know, you know, within different ministries, if you have any sense about you at all, you don't go into any church doing this. You don't go into any online ministry doing this. A prophet submits to a prophet. The same rules that you have in a church, if you face people face to face, are the same ones that you do when you hide behind your computer screen. Hopefully you're not hiding. Hopefully you're who you say you are. But you're honoring, you're honorable, and you're honoring the vessel that God's put in place. While if you're not honoring, this is what you're doing. The devil's appointed as false prophets and false authority through Jezebel. So either you're operating in Jezebel, demanding your own way, there's unhealed areas in your heart. And this is what happened to Gedaliah, who was one of the false prophets, who continually was trying to convince those around him that it was okay to serve the Chaldeans. It was okay to do what was right in their own eyes. It was okay. Not a big deal. And just like in Jeremiah's day, the false prophets will always be there to convince God's people that they don't have to do things God's way. It's okay if you entertain demonic voices, and it's okay if you do what's right in your own eyes, and it's okay if you do what you feel like doing. But I have to remind you that your feelings have nothing to do with your faith. They're two separate entities. Because the Bible clearly states that it's not okay. If you know the word, if you're having your alone time with God and you're studying and you're coming up and growing up, the Bible states this. But when we choose our own devices, do we see our power become diminished or limited? You start digressing. You start falling away. Because God can't dwell where sin is. And so instead of growing forward and growing up, you're starting to go backwards and you're digressing. You're losing momentum. You're losing the flow of God, which is your power. Love is the most powerful force on earth. And you know, I was teaching our teams about this morning. Seems like so many churches are so void of power. They're void of power because they keep refusing to change or be changed. And if you're sick of hearing this message, the Lord says, then change. And the message will change. That's what he's saying. I'll say it again. Because God is sincerely trying to get the body's attention to listen to him so that he can find vessels to pour his glory out onto. You don't want to know why? The glory is what's going to enable the true remnant of God to counter the false prophets, the false magicians, the false people who do signs, wonders, and miracles, the false teachers and preachers and apostles. The true has got to be ignited with glory to counter the darkness, to counter the false miracles. They've got power. It's just not the true power of God, and it's not lasting. Pardon me. Get some water. So the Lord's saying in this hour, if you sit under a good, legitimate leadership, do you pray for them? Because their jobs aren't easy. I know mine's not. And it's because of all, I actually am amazed at the level of evil I'm seeing operate around me right now. And people that proclaim themselves to be sheep. And yet you feel, it's amazing too, you feel their self-righteousness in the spirit. Like they are so superior to everybody around them. That self-righteous, that spirit of religion and that apparatus. There's a difference between confidence in the Lord and being confident and who's sending you. And that's what people misunderstand of the church, because they have false humility if they're operating in a spirit of religion. It's like, oh no, we all have to be poor. We all have to be pious. We have to be down and downtrodden. We can't stand up in our holy faith. They don't even know to do that, by the way. They don't even know. So they've got this false sense of humility. It's called false humility. And then they go around with this bony little finger, pointing their fingers at everybody else's faults when they need to be dealing and looking at the crap in their own backyard. Because they probably got more crap that's stored up there than anybody else around them, yet they think that they've arrived. But this is a time where we're seeing few people want to do things God's way, because most unhealed people with prophetic gifts think they know everything, hence they refuse to get cleaned up. Their gifts are dirty, their hearts are very dirty, and they act like hell in and out of the church. So there's little difference to be seen in their living versus God's true remnant's way of living. If you've been around the true remnant, you feel the warm, unconditional love of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And you know what scares them about you if you're part of the true remnant? What scares the unloving away from the love of Christ in you is because love is the most powerful force on earth. It's kind of like when you fall in love, you fall into God. God's the one that places his spirit on two people to let them fall into love with each other, to become one. But when you're getting to know people, when they come into contact with truly loving vessels, the unloving or the unhealed or the unsaved, love is overpowering. Love is intense. Think about when you realized you were first in love with the person you were probably married to or dating. It's intense. And I've been in love before. I've had a boyfriend before. But it's intense. It's intense. And it can scare you. It scares you because it puts your emotions on overload. And if you're not healthy, people sometimes, that's why they run away from true love. And that's why the false unbelievers and the people that are unhealed and not whole, it's why they run away. And they try to deem something that's healthy, that's truly of God, as unclean. They try to say, oh, no, you're not as sterile as I am. They might as well say that. No, you're not as cold as I am. No, that's not what I'm used to. It's not what I'm familiar with. So they run back like a dog to their vomit, to the unhealthy, because it's all they've ever known. Hence, their lives stay screwed up and they stay in dysfunctional relationships. But this is why they're afraid of you, remnant. This is why they're so afraid of you. This is why they try to call the clean unclean. And God's like, don't call what I've cleaned up unclean. Don't you dare. I will judge you, says the Lord. You're coming at me, Acts 5:39. And by the way, when you come at their ministries, you're also coming at me. You're fighting God. You're fighting the Lord on these ministries, on my ministry. It's not mine, it's his, actually. But you're fighting him. So then these leaders have to contend with those operating underneath this apparatus of religion who are so sure they're so correct and they're in alignment with the Lord, yet the spirit of religion hinders their growth. So we've got a whole lot of people operating as the blind leading the blind right now. That's what's going on. And I pray to God that you're not one of them. I pray that you're following the true leaders of Christ, the warm, unconditional, loving leaders who are trying to get you into wholeness. They're trying to get you cleaned up, trying to help you get your crowns. They're trying to help you get into the new places of the Spirit and closer to God's heart. But for you healthy leaders and you true remnant of God, continuing to follow God in this hour, the Lord's saying, don't quit, because God's about to squash your enemies and force these Ishmaels to leave you alone. That's what he said. I'm not making apologies for what I heard the Lord say. Hey, good afternoon. The Lord is saying the truth about the Ishmaels is that the enemy has risen up against you. And the Lord says they may try as hard as they want, but they'll not ever touch the house, not ever be allowed to touch the house of God because of the pure fire of God that's getting ready to reside on your vessels. And the Lord says the pure fire of God is resting on some of the heads of his anointed right now. And the Lord says the reason why the enemy hates you so much, or these people that are stuck in religion hate you so much, is because they're stuck in their own arrogance, and their arrogance is the thing that's holding them back. Their pride goes before fall, right? So some of these people have even, this is what's so amazing to me when he showed me this. He said some of these people that are stuck are so stuck in the past that they don't know how to move forward in the future. And some of them have been participating or have participated in huge moves of God. Huge moves, like through the signs and the wonders and the miracles. And they had revivals for years or for a few days or however weeks, I don't know. But they've seen this stuff before. Yet for some reason in this particular place, as God is launching this new move now and teaching us about the courts of heaven and teaching us about how to battle through times, dimension, realms, frequency, seasons, and cycles of the spirit in different planes, they are afraid to walk there. They're afraid to move into this new place for fear that it's not of God. Wow. So they keep living in the past to where God can't bring them forward into a wonderful future because they're so afraid of being wrong. And with Christ, either we hear him and we trust him or we don't. That's all. And stagnancy, if you get stuck, stagnancy will clog up your ears and your gauge to where you stop paying attention to where God is leading you, or to where you allow fatigue to get the best of you. God knows you're tired. He knows we're all tired right now. We're exhausted right now. But he's also, I believe that God is also expanding our ability and our faith capacity because of our refusal to quit for those people who haven't chosen to quit yet. So every new move is going to look foreign. This is what you're going to have to understand and accept. Every new move will look foreign because you've never been there before. I've never been there before. And then, you know, I can't ever remember either. If you think about it in past moves of God, like the vineyard movement and things like that, I can't ever remember knowing my ruling and reigning abilities before that point, or how God would position me to be able to do that, because I hadn't come forward yet. That's why you have to come forward in order to learn it. You have to. And staying stagnant or where it's safe isn't going to keep you safe. It doesn't work like that. As the light gets lighter, the dark gets darker. So through the courts of heaven, that's part of the new ruling and reigning capability, That's the number one part of it. Actually, the second part of it is learning how to war in very high places through times, dimension, realms, frequency, seasons, and cycles of the spirit. It's dimensional warfare. You're going to have to learn it if you're going to come up higher. You're going to have to go get books about it and read about it. Study it. I'm so sorry. I should have grabbed a straw, but the enemy's trying to dry up my throat. This takes us into 2 Timothy 1:1-18. And the Lord's saying, don't give up. Because some of these so-called enemies that attack Timothy are attacking you. He's saying, don't give up. Some of you want to quit right now. Do not quit. Some of you leaders want to quit. Do not quit. You're getting a new crown. I talked to you about that on Monday. But the Lord's saying, don't give up. Because just like Timothy was having a hard time in Ephesus and he wanted to leave, the Lord's saying some of you are thinking about leaving some of your ministries. Don't give up. Don't give up on your dream. Because Timothy, what got him tripped up was that he began to feel sorry for himself instead of keeping his fight on. And the Lord's saying, get your fight back on. Get your head back in the game. Because there's no foe too big for Christ, not in the church and definitely not in the occult, that can overpower love. Love is the most powerful force on earth. So we're the only ones who get in his way with our doubt and our unbelief or our fear. We're the only ones. We're the ones that cause ourselves to stay stuck. So if you're still plugged into God, God's still honoring your faith. He's still honoring your vision. The Lord says you also need to pay attention to neglect in this hour. To be very, very careful not to neglect your spiritual life or to continue seeking the Lord in your alone time. Pardon me. This is part of cultivating your relationship with Him. The Lord said it's okay to listen to pastors online and listen to different ministries online or on YouTube or other channels. But the Lord says, don't neglect your time with me. Because your time with me is where I speak to you, says the Lord. And that's important for you to keep maintaining your faith and to stay plugged in different levels. And our alone time with God allows Him to bolster and encourage us to where we know the word ourselves. We know what He's saying for the hour that we're living in. You're staying on the up and up and you're aware. And knowing the word from my heart, knowing God's word for what He says about my life or for your life is not any online pastor's responsibility. It's ours. It's ours. So the Lord said, don't let the flames on your altar get too low. Because when the flames get too low on the altars of our hearts, we lose sight of where God's taking us. We lose sight of His plans for us. And we lose sight of the vision He gave us when we started. Do you remember how excited and passionate you were when you first started this process and you were gung-ho? I'm decreeing a thing. That's part of the process of learning in the courtrooms of heaven as well. You're starting off learning to decree the promises of God so you can be part of the miracle working process. By the way, that's the highest level of creative faith. That's the highest level of faith is creative faith. You're operating in the same faith that Jesus walked in when He walked in the earth. When you learn to decree a thing and you're decreeing a thing through the word of God, and you're watching it come to pass. You're literally creating heaven here on earth around your life. And what Christ wants it to be. God wants people to see you blessed. He wants people to see you wealthy. He wants people to see you multiplied and fruitful. He wants that for you. Because that just proves His existence. It just proves that He's alive. He's here to help everybody. And guess what? You're a spokesperson. So the Lord says, watch out for neglect. And then the Lord says, watch out for carelessness too. Let me tell you why. When God gives you a vision or a rhema word or a kairos word in your alone time with Him or even in under the corporate anointing, the Lord says, don't get careless. Don't get careless. Because not everyone has the same heart condition. Not everyone wishes you well. Meaning, not everyone you see or meet in church or in society is for you. Okay, not everyone's chosen to get their hearts cleaned up. And in this day and time, especially, not everyone wishes you well. Matter of fact, if they're stuck in a boiling pot of water like the crabs were, and you're vying to get out by stepping into the next move of God or into the new place, and you're like, no, I know this is God. This is new to me. I've never done this before, but I know this is God. Then they want to hold on to you, especially old family members, friends. You can label it. Sometimes spouses. And they're like, no, that's not of God, because their mindset is still stuck under an apparatus of religion. So they're trying to hold you captive with them, because in their mind, two wrongs make a right. In their minds, two peas are in a pod. In their minds, two birds of a feather flock together. But the problem with that mindset is that when one of those birds starts flying another direction, you send the other one catapulting because he can't deal with the change that the first one's going through. So what that really means is that if you leave, they have to look at their own heart condition and wonder why it didn't happen for them. I would be getting out of that pot. I would let them deal with them and God alone. You're not their God. Let him heal them, deliver them. And by the way, when you keep trying to stay there and enable them, you hinder their progress. You hinder their process. So let go. Keep moving. Because God's got more relationships for you in the future. He's got more blessings for you in the future. And he wants you to be his standard bearer of love to show them what they can have as well. God's no respecter of persons. What he does for one, he does for all. And matter of fact, in this day and time, the reason why God doesn't want you telling everybody your business is because most sheep are so dysfunctional. And that's the reason God hasn't placed them in their inner court. So God says, quit trying to draw them in there. Keep moving forward. God doesn't share his secrets with them. He's sharing them with those hearts who will listen and obey. But the Lord says, don't get neglectful. Don't get too careless, but always stay faithful. Have faith in the Lord. And have faith and keep your time with him for where he's taking you. Which leads me to Psalms 90, verses 1, and then Psalms 91, 16. And it talks about not rebelling in unbelief just because you haven't seen it yet. Gosh, this was such a right now word for me. I got so excited when I got to this part, actually, because I thought, God, this is so right now. Because it was so right now for me. And by the way, I never know where these words are going. I just sit down and start doing them, and I'm thinking, holy smokes, this is just for right here, right now, where we're at. I don't know how many of you feel like this. I think we're all at the same place, most of us, if we're listening here. But anyway, this is exactly what Moses was writing, because Moses wrote this psalm, and he was talking about when the people were rebelling in Kadesh Barnea. And guess what? Their disobedience caused them to lose their promised land blessings. This is why God's saying, don't quit, even though you haven't seen it yet. It's where God announced that anyone over 20 years and older would die within the next 40 years. They weren't entering into the promised land. They weren't entering into the glory. It was a place of testing where some of the Israelites failed miserably because they got duped by witchcraft and the devil. Do you understand what witchcraft does to you when you're going through a test? We teach this during C2 when we're talking about the seasons of God's heart. C2 is the most difficult season because it's the fire season where everything's under fire in your life and you're getting hit from every direction in witchcraft. You're under pressure, but it's the season where God is putting you under so much pressure where everything that wasn't delivered in C1 and season one is being brought to the surface. It's the dross that's being swiped off so you can be found as clear and as pure as gold. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And it enables you, if you pass that part of the test, to maneuver into the next part of God's spirit. Not everybody makes it. A lot of people, that's why a lot of the church is stuck in some part of contraction point two, because they refused to get free in prior seasons from things that so easily beset them. So if you want to advance quickly, I'm just telling you the key to advancement, be willing to get freedom and deliverance whenever it's applied, whenever it's approached, whenever you have the opportunity, get free. Quit fighting God. Get free. Let deliverance and inner healing be your new best friend. Because witchcraft's main objective, thank you, Holy Spirit. Witchcraft's main objective is to convince you through circumstances around you in the natural with your natural fleshly eyes to make you think things aren't happening. But see, if you believe more in the things of the Spirit and you realize that God is an always, he's an ever-moving God. He's always on the move. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. And you know that he's always doing something behind the scenes. He's always working, even if I can't see it. Even if it doesn't look like somebody I'm praying for isn't changing. I know God's moving. I just know because I know the word works. I've done it and used it for 35 years. I've been operating and decreeing a thing, decreeing a thing, and decreeing a thing for over 35 years. I know it's effective. It's 100% effective 100% of the time. I'll stake my life on it. It's changed my life. It's what's brought me to this point in my life. When if had you met me 25 years ago, you would have thought, good Lord, you're a wreck. Your life's a mess. And it was. And then I had a few power encounters with God, and he let me walk in heaven, and he's continued to allow me to do so ever since then. And no, I don't have a perfect life. Nobody's perfect, but I know he's real. I know he's real. And I can't deny the power, and I won't. So the Lord's saying in this hour, when the test seems to go on and on and on, it's our responsibility in that moment to press in harder to Christ, to be able to see and to hear and discern where he wants us to navigate into. It's in that place or at that crossroad of change where we either choose to stay where we're at because it seems safer, or we choose to venture into the unknown where no man has gone before with Christ. Because nobody knows what lies down the road except for him. That's the important part of that. And this is also why Moses prayed that God would teach man how to live his life wisely, to number his days, so that they would not walk in their own ways, but they would include God and ask God, guide me in this process. Show me where I need to go. Show me what I need to do. Based on Psalms 37:23. If you don't know what to pray, I always tell our people this. If you don't know what to pray, release Psalms 37:23, that God would guide your footsteps. Even if you're not sure where you're at, ask him to guide your footsteps, especially in a test. Guide my footsteps, God, so that I pass this test. And then when every opportunity you get for deep inner healing and deliverance, do it. Do it. If it's in a corporate anointing, especially. But if you know of Thursday night prayer rooms or whatever, go get involved. Go get free. You'll notice the power increases on your vessel. Your gifts get cleaned up. And you become pure in heart. But we need God's help in this day and time in order to live our days wisely and joyfully, if we want to grow and mature and then step into God's glory of protection. And get this. This is interesting. I'm talking to you out of the book of Psalms 90. But the Lord said the good news really lies in the very next book after Psalms 90, which is Psalms 91. And it depicts, after you've been obedient and you've been tested in Psalms 90, God has you step into Psalms 91, which is where God protects and he brings in the sun to shine on your face. The sunshine. He brings in protection and sunshine. God has made his face to shine upon me and be gracious unto me, to bring me his peace. It's where we learn to step into God's security and promises and knowing that he'll keep us if we continue down the road. Because God's the word. God is the word. He's a God of his word. For those who dwell in his presence and make the Holy of Holies their normal, that's their normal living space for the true remnant. And they're guaranteed by a holy God that if they continue down this pathway, they will reach their promised land blessings. He'll keep them. And he'll make a habitation over them. He'll tabernacle over us. Which brings us to wrap up on this Friday afternoon of Proverbs 26:1-2. And the Lord is saying, like snow in summer or rain in harvest, honor is not fitting for a fool. Well, that's a loaded statement. like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. Praise the Lord. So for all these enemies out there who think they're getting away with cursing all these innocent people, whether you're a cult, whether you're in the church, whether you're using the word of God in an unholy way, let's just be careful. Your harvest is being stored up for you in this hour. Because he's stating it right there. A curse, an undeserved curse, can't come to rest. It can't stay. And we can't use God's word for unholy purposes because God won't honor it. And you can do that and you can present that in the courts of heaven and command all those motions to be dismissed against you to where you walk in freedom instead of trying to be forced to live out a demonic reality that the enemy wants you to be forced to live under. That's important. And that's why it's important that we understand the courtrooms of heaven, that we understand our authority, but more importantly, that you understand the word of God. Because when you know the word of God, you know your rights. You know what he says is truth. And you won't let the enemy get away with anything. Are you encouraged today? I hope you guys are. I want to wish you a happy Friday. I'm wrapping up my Friday. I've been getting people ready for a wedding, and I used to work in the film industry, so I did design and makeup and stuff, and so I was doing all these people's makeup, and I'm like, Lord, I've got to do the 15-minute rev. I love these people, but yeah. Anyway, so we got them on their way so I could get you on your way, but I hope you have a great Friday. I hope you have a great weekend. We do the 15-minute revs on Mondays and Fridays. We rev you up for the week, and I rev you up for the weekend to get you prepared and to keep you moving through the week, and then during contraction point two, we add Wednesday, which is called the compass, and we kind of help you navigate throughout the witchcraft in C2 because it can get pretty hairy. But yeah, we're teaching you how to navigate through the seasons of God's heart. That's the purpose of Ezekiel's wheel. We have winter, spring, summer, and fall, just like the seasons in the natural. And so we teach you about how to attain his attributes and how to work your way into his heart with a heart like David. So anyhow, I hope you guys have a blessed weekend. And if I don't see you the rest of the day, then I hope I see you Monday on the 15-minute rev. But until then, I'll catch up with you. Bye-bye.